Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's October 28th. The month's almost over. It's Thursday. And
Angela, on the executive letter, if I understand it correctly, once you do that, you cannot go into commerce anymore. You can't get any credit cards. You can't get a new mortgage. You can't do any of that stuff. Well, I'm just saying. I'm just giving warning to the people if they don't understand that, because they'll really get in trouble if they do it.
Why do folks come on and give advice about the estate and the executor letter when they don't know what they're talking about? If you don't hear it from us, then don't repeat it to others, please.
Could you just do a brief snapshot of using our street address as opposed to the post office? Is that doable?
We've already covered that on Saturday's broadcast. And why would you want to go in there and argue with those folks? I covered that on Saturday's broadcast, how to do general post. You don't ask them for anything. You just use it. It's like you said, it's not within their dumbing down mailman manual, DMM. It's not in there because they don't have jurisdiction over deciding it, but you've got to use the mailing location exactly as we show it on the executor letter at the top. United States Minor Outlying Islands and ZIP 9998, Nation California or whatever it is. Then it's not domestic. It's a historical, unalienable right.
We don't need to give them an executor letter then.
No, you just do a change of address card. Or you just use that as a return address, and the mails start coming there.
Okay, I'll try some test mailings of my own, make sure that they got it before I do the very most important ones.
When they put that nation that you're located on in their post office computer, and that United States Minor Outlying Islands, right, that town, with the normal zip code, -9998, it will come up as a legitimate address. They're not going to understand it. But it'll come up as legitimate. Just copy the format that's on the top of the executor letter. We feel that it's better to not have mail delivered, to get rid of the mailbox and the number off of the home, because those are just enticements for the world system to come in and come after you. But if you for some reason you can't get to the main post office, they call for your mail and you're not having it delivered. It's not delivered. You're calling for it because that general post office at that nation state, at that town with the normal zip code -9998 is the executor's office post office, private. And the executor is the postmaster. And they know that. If it works in Los Angeles, of all places, then it'll work anywhere. And they even gave Dana a phone number he can call that Los Angeles post office and see if there's any mail there. He doesn't even have to run down. I can't imagine that, but they did.
The only other thing I wasn't clear on in your answer, and that was whether we can or want to use general executor as opposed to just straight executor. You said essentially it didn't matter.
Did you and I discussed this Saturday night?
We did, but I wasn't clear on your answer. You said that
what part of my saying that it was irresponsible of you to bring that subject up? As I said before, it's not necessary at this time. I'm not scolding you or anything. It's just that we don't want people experimenting. Let us do the experimentation, and then we'll give you what is working. That's what we've been doing so far, and that's what we intend to continue. We've gotten quite a few men working on projects that as they prove out, then we will report on them and give you the information on what's going on and how it works and how to do it.
Okay, I appreciate that clarity.
Well, you're welcome. I didn't mean to scold you, and I wasn't. It's just that, if you have... We have people out there experimenting with all different kinds of things, and they start reporting somewhere in somebody's chat room or on a conference call or something that the executor letter didn't work, and they followed the format when in fact they didn't, then that just causes a lot of anarchy, you know, misunderstanding.
Yeah.
We're, for the most part, people are having successes. We're not reporting all of them because it's just too much email to be passing on all the time. Occasionally, I post a few or several a week, you know, but they're not all of them. It's just too many of them. But there are instances when people are reporting that it didn't work, and I just got one today where a couple went into court, and the woman tries to speak for the executor office, and the judge sitting up there knew that she had no standing to do that. So she had her removed from the courtroom. And then the husband, he basically just stood there mute. He's not doing his due diligence and doing his performing his responsibility. So I don't know exactly what the outcome is going to be, but it seems to be continued now. But it's not sexist that the men have to do this. It's just their job. I don't make the law. It's the way it is. You can find it in Scripture.
Okay, I appreciate that clarity. Thank you.
You're welcome. Somebody else just shut down a traffic case today, California.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, Ron was mentioning that someone won his foreclosure case and a traffic issue, a ticket or something.
Yeah, not just a foreclosure case. The plaintiffs of foreclosure action directed the clerk to give him the mortgage. They got a free house.
That's wonderful. Go ahead, Dallas. Ask your question.
One of the questions I had was someone was born in a different country, let's say in the Philippines or in Germany or something like that, and utilizing a birth certificate. Is it just the same as if they were born here as an executor for the executor letter?
There's no estate there. There's no estate to be executor of.
Oh, okay. So how would they be able to handle that in any way with the executor letter?
There's no estate.
None. Okay.
You can thank the rotten Roman cult for that.
Okay.
Minimum influence here. Even though they claim to own all the land and everybody and everything on it, but they've had minimal influence, and that's why there are estates here. There's no social security system in the Philippines.
Correct.
Okay. There's no estate to base the social security system on.
So if they're here from another country, they're born in another country, but they do have a social security number here.
No, still nothing. That's based upon the naturalization certification certificate, but that does not create an estate.
Okay.
The naturalization certification certificate creates a all caps entity, but it's not an there's no footprints from a grantor involved. See, that's the difference.
When I listened to the conference call, the archives from your Saturday call, and one of the callers, a female called in, she said that her birth certificate was in cursive writing.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, that mine is the same way. Everything is handwritten, so mine is no title case, upper and lower case. So I know that's how I did my letter. So
you just follow the way that the birth certificate is. If it's upper and lower case, you do that. If there's no first name or no last name, then you do it the way it's on the certificate of birth. But do not, if you've been given a title of junior or the second or third or something like that within the family, and you use that, and it's not on the certificate of birth, you do not use it.
Well, I do have junior on it, JR period, but I never use it, other than times when I have to use it.
JR period's on the certificate of birth?
Yes. And that's the way it is, the JR period.
You follow that exactly as it's written.
Now, it's so I would go first, middle, last, comma, JR period.
Yeah.
It's not written that way, because it's always written last name first. But it would go in that progression then.
I've never seen a certificate of birth that it's last name first.
Yeah, that's where mine is.
Is yours older than dirt?
I don't know. I'm not 60 yet, you know, but I was born in Louisiana, so, and that's the way they did it out there.
Well, the last name first and then the comma is, the comma is just putting the last name, it's indicating that that should be after the given name. It would be first, middle, and last, comma, J.R. And if there's a period after J.R., you put the period there. All of that exactly as it's written.
Yeah, did it exactly. Now, I heard you mention, because I just called in, and as soon as I called in, I heard you mention something about a traffic ticket someone got that with the executive letter?
California today. There's been, I don't know, dozens of them.
In California?
All over the place.
Okay, that's where I'm in Southern California, so. And I do have a traffic ticket case. About 6 months ago, Doug Riddle was on with the A for V stuff. So I ended up getting, I don't have a driver license. And I got in, I explained that on one of the calls several months ago. I got a driver license. I don't have one. I had a ID card, state of California ID card, but I didn't have it with me. And they gave me a ticket. And they eventually sent me, since it's a misdemeanor, they sent me a notice, which would normally be a bill, but there was nothing on it with a mandatory appearance. Well, I accepted that for value, sent it in to the clerk with in the envelope, and it was a mandatory appearance by May the 1st. No extensions, nothing, but they extended it to November 2nd, which is next week. And when I checked, it was still there in the computer system, so nothing happened with it. So we're doing the executive letter, and I'm going to be doing it the way you explained it, sending it to the...
Do it the way I explain it, then don't call it an executive.
There's the executor letter, T-O-R.
There you go.
Executor letter. And no, executive is public side. And I'll be doing that along with having copies to take to the administrator at the courthouse itself, the way I explained it on the conference call, and just in case, and waiting to see what they do. And I'll be doing that Monday, and then the case is on Tuesday. And so I'll be going in, see what happens.
Well, there's nothing inside that bar but controversy.
Right, exactly.
You don't engage in controversy. You don't explain anything. It's a private estate.
Right, Matthew 5:25.
There you go. Very perceptive of you.
Question I had, too, on the executor letter, where it states down here for the notary... The jurat stamp or seal and witness, where you leave it blank. My friend is a notary, and he has his own jurat with the everything is in blue, the way you said it, leaving it all in blue. And a question, I'm glad I caught you there, because I have this question. He put his jurat at the bottom in black. Is that the way it should be?
Well, they're in the world. They're dead.
Okay, so that's fine.
Yes.
Okay, so he just did it in the computer system on the letter, and so we're just going to go tomorrow, and I'll sign it in blue ink where it says by executor, and then he'll fill it out on the bottom, and I'll put the stamp on it, put the certified numbers on the letter, and positioning the numbers from the certified receipt.
The sticker.
Is there the sticker? Is there any particulars in positioning that?
It's supposed to go between those broken lines.
So just, like, balancing it in the middle, anywhere?
This is why. You understand bordering and bracketing?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's in the U.S. government style menu?
Yes, it is. If you take that sticker and put it on a document, is it on the document and part of it?
No.
No, it's not, because it has a border.
Right. Same as brackets.
Bingo. The broken lines are a passing lane. They are a right-of-way. Broken lines extend the sticker into the document.
Because it's not completely bordered.
Bingo.
Okay.
It's not only not bordered any longer, it has passing lanes. It's a right-of-way. It's free passing. And some folks have been adding the certified mail number, typing it on the documents in different places. When they do that, they change that document from a certified document, which is what it says on the lower left-hand side, into a mail certified mailing. They change it from a certified document into a certified mailing. And it's now worthless.
That makes sense. Okay. Because that's what I've always done in doing when I was doing before a Privacy Act request and Freedom of Information Act request, I would type that on there. But I see what you're talking about. Typing on makes it a certified mailing, not a certified document.
Well, that's the old way we used to do things. I've done that hundreds or thousands of times myself, not realizing what I was doing. Taking the certified number sticker or registered mail number sticker off of the sticker and putting it on the cotton picking green card. That's the way of the world to do that, but it doesn't mean it's the only way you can use that. This is abstract thinking, and it's made a very big difference in our documents and the way they're received. Everything is, and I'm working on version 7, Angela. I've reworked the two paragraphs in the document to appease the English majors out there and get them grammatically correct. And actually, Sam Kennedy sent some suggestions that actually are pretty good, and we're going to adopt those into that. And you'll see it's much clearer to understand than what a dumb Dutchman can do. You cannot majorly alter those two paragraphs because they're written to cause a specific thing to take place. If you majorly alter them, then they're not going to be what they are anymore. Paragraph 1 is a penalocution, which is a procedure in the barfly courts, or actually in back in law before statutes.
Paragraph 1, an allocution, is that what you just said?
Yes, it is. Allocution is what takes place at sentencing to stop.
I've been through that, but I didn't know about the allocution when I went through sentencing one time. I found out after.
So that's what allocution is, or paragraph 1 is. And paragraph 2 is just demanding all their surety information without threatening them. It's a threat.
So now a question I have to you on format of the letter. When the letter's there, it's formatted, didn't change the wording. But because the administrative office of the courts in the state of California is called administrative office of the courts, and when it's typed in, the letter says office of, administrative office of the courts. Is that?
You change it to whatever it's properly supposed to be on their website.
Okay, so just take off office of the way you have it already in the letter and just leave it administrative office of the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
And there's a director there for California.
Yes, it's a female, Mary Maloney Roberts.
Yeah, she's the administrator.
Yes, the general counsel administrator. She even has her picture on the internet. Okay, it's pretty much answered pretty much most of the questions I had regarding this right here. I'm excited to see how this works. I am always game for things like this.
If you're going to do what you do employing the estate, the executor office, you may fail. Because what I previously did, I had to abandon. I did that when we developed the notary office. I had to abandon all the ways of the barfly and look at everything from a different perspective than what was going on.
That's why I like what I see here. My friend, Wendell, is the one that told me about the conference call. And he said, I thought about you, Dallas, and I heard what was being said. Because the one thing that I discovered was that it can be verified that we are the executor of the estate through the Internal Revenue Service. Verifiable.
It is verifiable.
It is verifiable.
It's easily verifiable.
Yes. It's on paper through a Privacy Act request.
Who is the only individual that can obtain an original certified copy of this certificate of birth?
Me, if that's mine.
Bingo. That's the executor. When mom and dad's alive, they can do it also, but they actually created the grantor, and that's why they can do that. When they have passed away, there's only one individual in the world that can do that, and that's you. that's an indicator that there's a specialty there. It's a particular capacity and standing. It's a special capacity. It's a specialty. It's a particular capacity.
Did you know that the Internal Revenue Service actually designates us as executor? I mean, with the words? Directed to us?
Where do you find out of it?
What they do whenever, I discovered it when I was helping a friend with a notice of federal tax lien. And then I noticed that he had two different designations of kinds of tax on his notice of federal tax lien, a 1040 and a 6682. 6682 is because we were doing things with his W-4 and his company didn't accept it. So the IRS termed it as an invalid W-4 under section 6682 of the Internal Revenue Code. And they will always tell you that 1040 is the 1040 kind of tax because that's the form that you use. Well, that's a section 1040 of the Internal Revenue Code. That's where you are the executor of the estate for the decedent and you didn't pay your tax. So they're taxing on that. And that's what section 1040 is under 2032A evaluation on the IRS. And when you do a Privacy Act request, it will come back showing that you are the executor of the estate of the decedent in that document.
Interesting.
And I haven't done one with anyone who didn't have a notice of federal tax lien, but I'm sure that if we did one at any time, a Privacy Act request to the Internal Revenue Service, then it would still designate us as the executor, which tells us that the IRS is telling us that we are the executor of the estate of the decedent. And because we didn't pay the tax, that's why they're taxing us. And a lot of that's through the 6209 manual in the for the Internal Revenue Service. So they actually designate us as executor. So it's actually pure 100% documentation from the IRS.
So does that mean you can discharge the debt, the tax, or whatever?
Question, I don't know. I just I matched it up with what David was saying when I listened to the archive conference call from Saturday and what I had researched over the past years, and just matched up perfect. That's why I was so excited about it. I'm going like, wait a minute. I'm going, you know, I didn't think that we were executors. You know, I didn't get an estate from anyone who died, never thinking that the fiction, the legal fiction, is the dead entity. And because the legal fiction is a dead entity, that's how they designated in their computer system without telling us that we are the executor under section 1040 of the Internal Revenue Code. If you look in section 10-1040,
right.
That's what it says. That's where we're considered the executor. And then they put it into the individual master files and in the Privacy Act request in privacy files on the private side. That's why you have to get a Privacy Act request.
Okay, so you get a Privacy Act request, and what do you ask for in
You just ask for a Privacy Act request for a particular year. It's just a Privacy Act request for a particular year. Just ask for it. You send in
Dallas, who are you sending it to?
The Internal Revenue Service Disclosure Officer.
All right.
All right, here's the Laguna Niguel. And there's a young lady down there. I've spoken with her more times. I call in. I haven't talked with her for about a year, though. And she used to give me all kinds of inside information. And I got excited about this with David because it just verifies what I saw but didn't realize. And now this gives some great verification for it. It's amazing.
So you just send a Privacy Act request to the IRS.
You send a Freedom of Information Act request under the Privacy Act. It's a Privacy Act because it's a personal information.
I know, but usually you're asking for something in particular. You want your, you know.
A Privacy Act request. Requesting a Privacy Act request like it requests an individual master file.
Right.
It's a Privacy Act request.
But you're not asking for an individual master file.
No. The individual master file is something totally different.
I know. I have already
done that.
The
Privacy Act request will designate, especially if you've had a notice of federal tax lien, it will designate that you are the executor. And it shows it as a regular lien that they placed on you as the executor of the estate of the decedent. This whole executor letter is all about. It's like, I got so excited about it.
I have some problems with them suggesting that they can tax the occupant of the executor office or the office itself. I don't see how they can do that. It seems to me that executor, trustor, settlor. They're similar terms, and it can be used interchangeably. And even though I know on 1040 there's a place on that form, it is a claim form to claim expenses for the executor office. I'm more inclined to believe that everything having to do with the IRS is based upon the Social Security Trust, and they're taxing the trustee. Now, he is susceptible to taxation, see? But not that estate. I can't see how they can trespass on that estate, and there's just been too many instances now with the executor letter where they have acknowledged, and actually in one letter from the Supreme Court of Tennessee, I think Angela has that one up on our website, that they, in that letter, that this office has no jurisdiction regarding the estates, and they don't. So I'm not arguing with what you're saying, but I'm having difficulty making that work in my mind that they're...
Okay, well, maybe you just don't have to do, you don't have to do the Privacy Act request to get verification that you are the executor of the estate. All you have to do is do the executor letter, claim your status with that letter, and they will have to respect it, right?
Well, it's not a claim. It's an act. Yeah, it's a deed.
Dave, I'm on a conference call when I listened to it, because I was up until like 4 o'clock this morning listening to it to get through the whole thing. I remember hearing you stating that you guys are still having a little bit of challenges with the Internal Revenue Service with garnishments.
Well,
and the executor letter.
Some of those are working their way through.
All right. And like my question is, knowing that this, that they do designate each and every one of us as the executor of the estate of the decedent under Section 1040 of the Internal Revenue Code, it has documentation that they have to recognize us as executor because it's in their computer system. That they use when they go to court. This is what they use when they go to court. I'm going through some issues with a friend in San Diego who's been through the U.S. District Court regarding a summons. And what you explained about the books and records in the box, tape it up, 7845s, that's what I had him do. Get some books in there, some books off his shelf and put some records in there. And he brought his books and records. Tape it up, don't let him look at it. It's none of their business.
Yeah.
And that's why we were laughing when we heard you say that, like, that's what we do. And but he's down there in the U.S. District Court, and they are just, they're so stupid. They made so many mistakes down there. They're U.S. attorneys are idiots down there. They made so many errors in the whole entire court system. The judge is a ding-a-ling, and she's attempting to get out of all the errors she's made. But the Internal Revenue Service agent is just, he lies through his teeth, and they believe everything he says. And with this documentation that they are designating us in their computer system that they would use in any court of law for a criminal case, they bring in the master files. In the U.S. Attorney's Manual, it says do not introduce the master files. Do not introduce anything from the master files or the private information,
right,
because it could cause problems in the court.
Yeah.
It's in the U.S. Government in the U.S. Attorney's Manual that way. And so that may be a documentation that proves that they designate us as the executor, and they have to recognize it. Why would they not? And that caught my interest, too, when I heard you say that. It's like, that could be a way to really get them to pay attention.
If you know how to fill out the SS-4 correctly, you get an EIN for the estate describing you as the executor of the estate of the decedent. And the word decedent is not a cadaver. It's not a dead thing. It can mean dying, not dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all dying from the time we take our first
breath. So like the question that a girl said last night, that I heard last night, how would we do that correctly to do that? You know, I guess, you know, we'd have to eventually figure some of those things out for that SS4. Because I'm not doing one of those right now because I don't know how to do that correctly.
Everyone we know of has tried it, including Patrick Devine. It's not done correctly. And it did not get an in a state EI in, other than the ones we've been successful with.
Yeah, so that was interesting that you had that the with the Treasury direct account showing that deceased.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so interesting. Well, I do have another question regarding the format. With the executor location, having it to where it's received where I live, not at a general post, at the general delivery, at the post office, but where I live, having it designated with where it says near, then the zip code where I am, and the 9998, that makes it non-domestic, even though I receive it here. Is that accurate?
Yes, the Postal Service is delivering it to the general post office. It makes no difference whether they hand it across the counter. They're just handing it to the postmaster. They deliver it to your home with that location as the mailing address, then they're delivering it to the general post office. You've changed your home into a post office.
I just really feel real strong about what I see here with the traffic ticket, and I'm excited to see how this is going to work.
Well, just remember that it's the prosecutor, it's your enemy in there, not the judge. And no matter what the judge is saying to you, you direct your answers or your demands to the prosecutor. Where is your administrative written specific administrative authority from the executor's office to administrate this estate and just hold his feet to the fire? Don't let him go by that. The judge is not administering. They're refereeing up there for a while. It's the cotton-picking prosecutor, the lying lawyer. It's playing his deceit card.
Now, this is just a arraignment, and I don't think the city attorney, I think they use city attorneys there. And last time I was there, it was a city attorney. And I don't think they're there for the arraignment, even though, and
really?
They were. Yeah, they were when my daughter went. I don't ever use. It starts with the commissioner, and I usually go to a judge. They really usually send me to a different court with a judge because I want it on the record because there's no record with the commissioner. I never stipulate with the commissioner.
Nobody but a bar card carrying bar fly can represent the government. It has to be a bar card carrying lawyer. A police officer, if somebody's trying to prosecute the case in a municipal traffic court, you need to just ask him where his license is to practice law, because he can't represent the government. He can do it out there on the highways in his cruiser, but he cannot do it in a courtroom.
Neither can the judge.
Actually, they can't, but then they can also, because the government is a creation of the esquires. But none of them have delegated and specific written authorization from the executor office to do anything they're doing. And without that, it's fraud on the estate, period. Not a mistake, it's fraud. They're trying to administer the estate, and they can't do that. They're the ones that didn't specifically put on their paperwork, whether it's an estate or executor office or occupant of the executor office or a trust or a trustee office or the occupant of the trustee office or just none of the above. They just put a name there. Well, that's a general use of the term. And as an occupant of the executor office, you're within your rights to regard that as the estate name.
Hold on a second, Dallas. Did you have anything else to ask?
One more, yes. One more.
Okay, go ahead.
I noticed one word I liked what you used in there. You stated use the adjective arrogated for the paperwork.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I didn't know what that was, and I looked it up and went, okay, it means unwarranted.
Me too.
It means unwarranted paperwork.
Former newspaper editor critiquing my Dutchman English.
Okay, you've answered my questions. We'll see what happens on Monday, and I feel real strong about it.
Just don't let them lure you into arguing and their controversy.
No, I don't let them do that.
You don't discuss the issues of the estate. It's a private estate. If the judge wants to go in the chambers and discuss it privately, then fine, but not out in court on the record.
So if that does happen and the judge wants to do that and go in the chambers, it's fine to go and sit in the chambers with him, and
they won't invite you in there. No. Not the executive part. And if they start threatening you that you're going to lock you up, ask them, are you suggesting that you're going to put the occupant of the executor office in custody? Is that what you're saying? Because that's creating a constitutional crisis. If we're correct on what's going on here, the United States government is founded upon and based on and funded by these estates. They can't do that.
That's why we send it to the governor and the attorney general for birth state.
Yes. The estates are the creditor. And I would just ask them that. Are you suggesting it's like Paul, the false disciple, said, is it lawful to imprison a Roman? And what did they do? They stopped immediately.
So yeah, that's true.
They did not go any further until they checked with higher-ups.
Yeah, because he was both Jewish and a Roman.
Yeah, so you are occupying the executor office. That is, for all intents and purposes, you are the centurion. The centurion was over 100, and what's right in scriptures? Tens, fifties, and hundreds. The occupant of the executor office in Roman law, and that's the law being utilized in all these courts throughout the world system now, the Roman law. You're a centurion to them. You can't just jail a centurion. Ask them, are you suggesting that you're going to jail, in prison, put the occupant of the executor office into custody? Is that what you're suggesting?
I love asking questions like that.
Yeah.
It just turns them beet red.
Yeah.
Great, wonderful. Right. Thank you very
Thanks,
much, David.
Go ahead, Rich. Mitch, did you have something to say?
Yeah, hi. This is Richard, the former newspaper, actually magazine editor. I was talking about. Hey, so yeah, I have a couple questions. First of all, David, a few minutes ago you were talking to someone asking about those born in other countries. You said no estate. I understand that. Please address the subject of a spouse born in another country, whether you know it's the husband or the wife, now married to a man or woman born on the soil here who is an occupant of an executor office. What would the status of the spouse be, or the rights thereof?
Well, on the public side of that, she can inherit the husband's estate upon his death. But
yes.
On the private side, she cannot function as executrix over that. She has no dowry. She brought
yes.
the dowry into the contract. The son, the oldest son or daughter, well, it would be the brothers of the husband. They would be executor. And absent them, the oldest son. Or absent them, it would be the daughter. Now, if there is no heirs to inherit the private side, I'm going to stick my neck out here. Somebody's got to function in that executor or executrix office. They have to, because the office has to function. It just has to be that way. So then, and I'm going to stick my neck out here without really having anything to base what I'm going to say on, other than a hunch, is that she can volunteer into the office and function there. But if she's not entitled to it, she could risk being charged with fraud.
Yes.
Misrepresentation. If there's any brothers or sons or daughters.
Right. During the lifetime of the husband, however, the husband or wife born on this land, I guess it would have to be the husband. What I'm looking for is a way to protect, whether whether you want to call it coverture or whatever. My wife, who is in that situation, having been born in another country, and, of course, had she been born here, she would have her estate, and it would be property of the estate, and I notice I just said her estate, but, you know, forgive the lapse. There'd be an estate of which she occupied the office of the secretary. And that would be part of the property of the estate of which I occupy the office of executive. However, sounds like none of that exists in this current situation. Is that correct?
That's what it sounds like. A good indicator is get a current copy of her certificate of birth from her native country and see if there's a bond number on that cotton picking document. Is there a social security system operating there? Is that country a part of the IMF? Any one of those three is an indicator that there's an estate somewhere. You know, I doubt that there can be a social security system if there's no estate to base it on. Canada has it, States has it, Great Britain has it, and Australia have it. They're all current or former colonies of Great Britain. That's what they all have in common. As far as other European countries are concerned, I don't have any real knowledge to base any decision on that. You know, they could, the estates could be there, and I'm just not aware of it. The dead giveaway would be a bond number on the certificate of birth, that there is an estate there.
Absent that, what method, if any, would I have to protect her relative to any kind of case that might come against her?
Well, as long as you're alive, you can do that in the executor office. What are you talking about afterwards?
No, I'm talking about now. Were she to have any kind of current case come against her, I understand that if she had been born here and...
She has become property of your estate through the marriage, if the marriage is to a license and a formal ceremony. It's recorded. They're going to merge her into the estate.
Uh-huh. Then I don't need to worry about an estate with her all caps name thereon. I just regard it as I could write from my estate, excuse me, from the estate of which I occupy the office of executor, the precise same letter, but it's regarding her all caps name and their case number and whatever.
Yes. You take the file number off of her certificate of birth, whether there's a bond number on there or not. Take the name off of that certificate of birth, and under that regarding, you put underneath it her all caps name and the file number and the country it's from. And that designates that is property. It's not, you're saying the woman is the property. It's the all caps name and the file number. That's the property of your estate. Yes,
good.
You can protect her. It's just before you were speaking in terms of her being executrix.
I didn't mean to give that impression, but I was trying just to confirm that she does not have an estate, and I was looking at how I could protect her. But the green card name and all of that rigmarole doesn't play into this at all. Am I correct?
Well, if it's a native-born American and they marry a foreigner, the fictional entity of the foreigner becomes property of the American's estate.
Yes. So that would actually then include the green card.
But if it's a woman marrying a man that's from a foreign country, that is not going to make him executor. That's
right.
Not going to work that way.
All right. I did have a couple more questions, but Michelle was just saying, so relative to, if I understand you correctly, she's saying Social Security card, all of that junk is then part of the state that has the all caps name that sounds like my name.
Yes.
Thank you.
There's a Social Security card, and there's an account there, as you know, on the back of the cards is a bond number.
Yes.
So there is an account, there are accounts there. And that trust, and that's what it is, it's a trust, and all the proceeds from it are property of your estate.
Thank you. Now, minor detail, I believe this is sort of obvious, except, I'll just state a question. Switching now to the document itself, the letter, and the passing lanes, the lines above and below the sticker.
Yes.
I assume those must be far enough apart so that they are visible when the sticker is placed between them, right?
Hopefully that was self-evident.
Well, it wasn't. That's why I was asking.
Yes.
On that same thing, I have a confusion from the marathon call the other night. I understand visible, obvious, that the word V before the estate name is now gone.
It's not on the certificate of birth.
Exactly. My question is, has the comma survived between the name and...
Yes, proper English. That separates the two. Everything being left of the comma is on the certificate of birth, and everything to the right is defining what is on the left.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's reading of it. I understand now. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Or a hyphen, and I thought that the newspaper editors would object to the hyphen. So.
Absolutely, because that's joining the two. The words that I think you're using are implying that the usage of the word estate now means that that's an appositive, appositive, which means sort of like the comma is saying, in other words, or that is, you know, John Quincy Doe, comma, that is, the estate by that name.
Yes.
Now, that's very clear. I really appreciated the discussion you had with Dallas along those lines. That cleared up some things for me. But it also raised one point. Would you say that this all caps name, you were saying that the barflies haven't distinguished what it is, wouldn't it therefore, in their usage, be void for vagueness?
It is.
No? Okay, good.
It's always been void for vagueness.
Exactly.
Very astute of you.
One of our dear, dear friends out here has been in touch with you a few weeks ago about his IRS case. He just went in on Monday and, you know, they had rolled over it. And he said, over the letter. And he said, I made a couple of mistakes, but I don't think they were important. Right. And one of them you just alluded to, saying, do not type the certified number on. Well, that's one that he did. My question, therefore, at this point is, correcting a botched version 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, whatever, you know, if somebody's done wrong, wouldn't that be just cured by doing it right, because everything prior to doing it right is incompetent?
Yes.
So I will call him and tell him.
No, revisions replace what came before.
Right, right.
And I want to emphasize, and you haven't suggested this, but it just come to mind, this is not your estate. And you better not call it your estate. And
absolutely.
If I ask you if this is your estate, you better say, I am the occupant of the executor to the estate.
Occupant of the executor or occupant of the
office? Occupant of the executor office to the estate.
Right, right. I'm glad you said that, because now you brought to mind something else from version 6, since you're now working on it. I was looking at it today. Down at the signature line, you've got the word, it says by, colon, executor. That's calling the man or woman who signs there the executor, rather than the occupant of the office, blah, blah, blah. Just a suggestion from one of your many editor admirers here, I would lose the word executor at that point.
I'm not sure I can do that, because what we see the world doing is it's Queen Elizabeth, it's Pope Gregory, it's President Kennedy.
I got it.
I'm not confident that applying proper English is the right viewpoint to take.
Okay, I see what you're saying. They've got the usage there. It just seems to me as though that's establishing the man or woman as being the executor rather than the occupant of the office.
It's your signature. It's the executor signing for the office.
Not me, but the signature.
Mm-hmm.
I follow.
You're the signatory.
That's enlightening.
It's the office.
Get up and let somebody else come on, unless you have anything, Michelle.
Private Attorney General, go ahead.
I was looking at the version 6. Would you say that it would be okay to put an attachment on there for a further order?
Ask it again, I'm sorry.
I was, you know how you're asking for the letter from the executor's office to administer the estate, forward all the accounting for the CRIS and the QSIP and all that. I was contemplating putting another order in there as a number like 5 or 6. What do you think?
I think you're dancing with disaster.
Yeah, because I'm not looking to necessarily get rid of a case, but get them onto their doing their duty, you know, as court officers and clerks and all that business, and stop falsifying the records. What's your thought on that?
It sounds to me like you're trying to apply commerce concepts to the state, and they're foreign to each other.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to collect off of these guys, and I got them in default judgments, you know, and the judgments have been out for 2 years or 3 years. And
default judgment is worthless because it's not based on anything but incompetency, and I'm not saying you're incompetent. I'm just saying that we, in the world, the only way we can function in the world is as an incompetent.
That's what they want to make us look like, yeah.
Pretty much. Justice Marshall, 99% of the lawyers are incompetent, too.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that aren't regarded as incompetent.
Yeah, it's kind of backwards, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I'm looking at this and trying to see if that would apply, but, you know, I'm a very hesitant soul when I'm not got all my chambers ready to go. But anyway. Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Thanks for coming on, Kevin. Empowering Wealth. Did you have a question for David?
Yes, I did. Angela, this is Mel. Hello tonight.
Hi.
Thanks for doing the call, as always.
Sure.
David, in your estimation, in regard to doing the executor letter in a federal case, the individual is born in one state, so we've got to do the governor of that state and the attorney general of that state, and then the case is in another state. We have to do the governor and the attorney general and the federal state court administrator. Is that correct?
Yes. The original of the executor letter is the administrator of the administrative office of the United States courts in Washington, D.C.
Right, correct, okay.
Don't let them feed you any guff that they don't have any jurisdiction in an ongoing case. It's not about jurisdiction in the case. What it's about is they're cotton-picking barflies, perpetrating a fraud against the estate. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with the ongoing case or anything else. That's that they try to pull you into that controversy thinking that way.
Now, when the letter was sent out from him, he is being held hostage as we speak. He did not have it notarized, but now he has some family that has his written power of attorney.
Nope.
No?
He cannot, as executor, cannot. He can't delegate the authority of the executor office.
That can't work. Okay.
In extreme situations where they're a paraplegic or something like that, yes. You know, someone can sign for them. But it has to be notarized. He has to do it over. He has access to a notary public. Huh?
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're right. Another question. When the document was put together, it was not put on legal paper.
It's also defective.
Okay.
Major issue. You can leave the certified mail number off of it. Nah, I don't know. So it doesn't get knocked off or ripped off by the mail room looking for contraband under it or something like that and attach that and get it back from him. But he can put it in a inmate request form for a notary public service and get it notarized in there. All prisons provide that service. They have to.
Okay. So we need to correct it, put it on legal paper, get him to notarize it, not the family. He did sign it, but he didn't get his signature notarized.
No, it's got to be notarized.
Okay. So redo it and put it on legal paper, have him notarize it, and then send it out, and then...
Do you see the beauty of this? There's a notary public that's employed by the prison system notarizing a document that they have proven the identity of the individual signing as occupant of the executor office, and they're holding them as inventory?
I'm getting that, but he's telling me that he's having a hard time getting anything notarized. They're just, you know, they're giving him hell, okay? And that's the way it is. You know, we know how it's supposed to be, but it's not really that way when people are in jail.
I understand. I've been there. Been there, done that.
Can't you send a notary to the prison?
No, it's a poor institution. They're not going. Well, they would. They would let him come in. He'd have to make arrangements for a special visit, and a notary public come there and meet with him in the visiting room, and blah, blah, blah.
How about a process server?
Well, no. They have a notary on staff. Let them provide access to the notary.
Okay.
Well, how do you make them do it?
Well, you can't make them do anything. You just keep putting requests. I don't understand why they're obstructing. Is he not cooperating with them?
No, that's not the situation. He told me that he could not get it notarized and could not do the certified letter mailing.
Well, he doesn't want to do the certified mailing from there. They're not going to give him the sticker. You've got...
Right. That's exactly right. And that's why it was sent out, because...
He can't do the certified mailing from the prison because they're not going to get him the cotton picking certified mail stickers. They're not going to give him the green card to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do all that in the mailroom. And they're going to do it all wrong. So
right.
You need to just do the executor letter over properly on 8.5 by 14 paper, mail it in to him, and let him get it notarized and mail it back.
Okay.
And then you do all the certification. And then you scan that, or if you can't, don't have a scanner that does 14-inch paper, take it to a Kinko's, Staples, Office Max, somewhere, and get it scanned in color, and you can put it on a zip or thumb or USB drive, and if nothing else, get at least one color 8.5 by 14 copy. But you're going to have to make copies anyway. You've got two governor's offices and two attorney general's offices that you have to serve.
Okay.
You can do them with certified mail or not. It's up to you. We don't see any necessity in doing it, but certifying the certified document to them all over again probably is putting a little more heat on.
Right, and well, the reason that I didn't, you know, I think it was number 5 or number 6 is where y'all put on the group, you know, to put it on legal size paper.
Well, and I think it was 4, 5, and 6, or at least 5, and had it on the bottom of the document.
Well, evidently, I was following number 3, and by the time I got the document to him, and he got it signed and got it back to me, you know, it had been updated, so...
Well, we have to remember that the version 0 worked, and it was nothing like what I created.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I thank you, and that's what we'll do.
I only thank you for not thanking me.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I'm going to thank you, but we'll let you know. We will let you know.
Okay. Anybody else? Press *8 if you want to ask a question.
This is California again. Hi, this is Dallas. I had a question regarding the copies of the enclosures for the additional parties to be sent like, to the governor, your state, the additional people like that. Should those copies be on legal 8.5 by 14 as well?
Mm-hmm.
Or everything is on 8.5 by 14?
Everything. You're dealing in law now, not in commerce.
Okay, so now in mailing it, the originals sent to the administrator and the copies sent elsewhere, those would be just sent in the regular legal size envelope then, folded up in a legal size envelope?
Yeah, you mean a standard 10?
Yeah, the business size envelope?
Yeah, number 10, yeah.
Okay.
Just fold it up and put it in there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, that was my question. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
If you are in a foreclosure situation, but no attorney has come after you, and no signed documents from the bank, let's say it's from a customer service department or a foreclosure department or whatever, those would be the fraudulent documents that you have received, I'm assuming, number one. And those would be sent back to the place where, to the, sent to the chief financial officer of the banking institution, whom you'd address this to, I'm presuming.
It's not a court case.
Right, it's not a court case. They're just saying you, hey, it's time for you to pay up or we're going to do such and such, but it's not signed by anybody.
Bingo. You got it.
Okay, that's what I thought. And all of this has to appear on one legal size page?
Sure. It's not much to put on there.
And the documents that you are returning to them, you are supposed to also make copies of those documents and send those to the governor and the attorney general of your birth state as well?
You can. It's not necessary.
You could just send them the basic executor letter.
Yeah. That's their controversy materials, and it's not relevant what the controversy is. The only thing that's relevant is they do not have written specific authority from the executor office to do what they're doing. It's a fraud. It doesn't matter how they're doing it or what devices they're using.
And do we assume that the chief financial officer of the institution is a bar card carrying barfly, or do we delete that if we're not sending it to an obvious barfly situation? When I say obvious,
you delete what's not appropriate. Yes.
Yeah. So the chief financial officer, since we don't know, we would delete the barfly information, for instance.
Yes.
Okay.
The same as you would take out judge, magistrate, or.
Right. That's my thought. I wanted to be clear on that. Okay, I think that pretty well clears this up.
I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I arrived in this country about 48 years ago. So now I am a secure party creditor. And the question is, can I be an executor?
I already answered that. To another man, maybe you weren't on there. As we see the situation now, the estate only exists for folks that are born in the United States of America, Canada, Great Britain, and Australia. They're all present or former possessions, colonies of Great Britain. Get a recent copy of your certificate of birth and see if they have a bonding number on there. If there's a bond number on that document on somewhere, and I probably wouldn't be able to help you determine whether it is, because I'm not going to be able to read the language of your country. If there's a bond number on there, then there's probably an estate. Whether that estate carries over here with your immigration and naturalization, I don't know. Those are questions that I have no idea. If it's not one of those four countries, then it's iffy. It's either no or it's just an unknown, you know, at present. When we can, we'll be researching those aspects and getting answers for those types of issues.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I had one more question. I know, David, you have said that once you begin this process, you better stay out of the commercial realm.
I would advise you do that.
Okay.
And you can't, you have to do that? No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, here's my question to you. I, of course, am the, I administrate as executor, in the office, as occupant of the executor office, I'm in charge of administrating my wife's estate. Is that the correct way to say that?
Yes.
Okay. So, would my wife, would it be okay for her to bring a commercial action, to bring an action against somebody for recovery of money?
You're going to waste your time. How are you going to collect a commercial action? Nobody's ever collected on any of that stuff.
Well, but she has probably some civil rights violations in terms of credit card stuff against the bank. I really believe she has that going for her, but we have not instituted it yet.
If you want to go into the barfly realm and wallow in there, in that muck and that mire and confusion, and through her or whatever, then have at it. It's just so confusing, and they do everything to discourage you. They make it hard on you to function in there and to get a remedy of any type.
Well, my question was, it sounded like you could be treading on thin ice if you had put yourself in the position of the occupant and you brought an action in the what I call the commercial world. I didn't know whether the same thing applied if my wife...
Will they retaliate against your family to get back at you for functioning in the executor office? What do you think if they get a chance to do that?
I think they would take that chance, yes.
They would also. They're going to have to do the same thing that the commerce people are going to have to do, and that is they're just out of business. They're going to have to do something to try and stop this. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but they're going to have to come up with something. We're confident that they're actively working on that. It's either that or it's like Sam Davis said, the practice of law is over. Practice is over with folks stepping up to the plate and functioning in these executive offices. Practice is over. You know, are they going to stand by and let that happen? I can't see them doing that. I'm not sure what they can do legally or lawfully, but we already know of instances where the lawyer up there on the bench is trying to trick, you know, the individual and pretending like they're ignoring what they're doing and what they're saying. And that's why we tell folks don't go in there and deal with those people in those courtrooms. Deal with it with the paperwork. That's what the letter's supposed to do. It's supposed to take care of it, resolve the controversy. It puts the whole controversy on their shoulders, and it's a fraud. And we recommend you go to the highest lawyer on the food chain, you know, the chief counsel, the administrator of the court, the chief counsel of the IRS, you know, whatever it is.
Well, my thought was in terms of some certain violations that they've obviously committed against her.
Well, I understand, but sometimes you can't get revenge or even justice. Sometimes you've just got to put it behind you and just move on. And that's what I recommend you do. Because whenever you're dealing with these people, you're moving out of the light into the shadow of death. And I would just avoid the darkness that's there. It just surrounds those people as much as you can. To me, there's nothing worthwhile going in there. There just isn't. Stay in the light and look for a brighter future and give it a chance. You know, you folks are just trying this for the first time. You're trying out your wings. You know, strengthen your wings, build up your competency, functioning in that capacity, and wait and see what the future has to hold for you. You know, there may be so much brightness on the horizon that once you get there, you'll forget about all that stuff that happened in the past.
Okay.
I've been doing that for a long time now, since 94. I put all the controversy and injuries and everything just out of my mind behind me. I just forgot about it. You know, I didn't like the things that were done to me. People have tried to kill me. They've paralyzed me and tortured me, literally. sustained long torture periods. I have severe nerve damage. You put me in a cold environment, I don't do too well. It's very torturous. Causes a lot of pain, cramping, things like that. Severe cramping things. So it wasn't any fun. But I lived through it. It's in the past. It's over with. I really don't care about it. I don't care about those people. I don't care what happens to them. I would like them to repent. I've forgiven them. I have officially done that. And I'm just looking for my future. I'm not looking. They're not part of my future. They're part of the past, and that's where I want them to stay. I don't want them to be in my present or my future. I just don't want to deal with them again. They don't have anything I want. They don't have anything I need.
All right, thank you very much.
I believe these estates have so much to offer you that the delusions and the confusion of the world will just pale in comparison. And you'll see that eventually. Just give it a chance.
The gentleman a little earlier said he's going to take this into this traffic court case on Tuesday. Is this executor letter go into the court? I thought it went only into the administrator and he stays out of court.
No.
Or do you give a copy to the court?
It never goes to the court because they're going to bury it if they can. You want to send it to the highest lawyer on the food chain, and that's the court administrator of the state court system.
Yeah, that's what I understood from the previous.
I'm not telling you folks not to appear there. I don't recommend that you do, but if you want to, I would suggest that you just sit in the gallery, the first row, outside the bar, and when they call the case, hand the executor letter to the bailiff and let him give it to the lion lawyer that's prosecuting the case. Don't give it to the judge. Try to hand it to the prosecutor. Now, his table's right over the bar there. Yeah.
And that's a copy after you've already sent it to the administrator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If they haven't already received it.
Okay.
You know, in time. If it's a, you don't have, it's a short notice situation. Like you're going to be in court tomorrow.
Okay. Also, he's saying, I don't know if you remember or not, he was something about the in California. It's a Barry Mahoney Roberts. I have a wholly different office and person for California administrator of court.
I'm looking at, I've seen a woman occupying the office on the court website. But she's over top of the assistants that administrate the various districts. I think there's three of them there or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or do I want the head of all three of them?
Yes, that's who you want, the court administrator or the director. It's occupying the court administrator's office.
The one I found ahead of all of them is the Office of Administrator, Director of the Courts.
It's the one.
Okay, this is William Vickery.
That's it.
Vickery.
Vickery, that's it.
Okay. I didn't see a woman. That's why I made sure I wasn't confused.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody had said woman earlier, and I couldn't remember. I've seen a woman administrator on one of the websites I was looking at. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay. He was saying it was Harry Mahoney Roberts, but that can't be right. I Googled all over. No, that's fine. Vickery would be the one, then.
You've got the right one. That name I remember.
Super. That's all I have, then.
When you send that executor letter to the administrator of the court system, you are sending it to all the justices on the state Supreme Court, and you're putting all of their bonds in jeopardy. They are the ones that swear those lying lawyers in and make bar flies out of them and issue them a bar card license, supposedly. They don't have the license, but they have the card. So that's why you're dealing with an administrative side of the court and not the judicial side. Is that's that function. When they create those cotton-pick and bar flies, that's not judicial activity. It's an administrative activity of the state court system, say. So when you send a letter there, you're functioning, addressing them or going to them on the administrative side, where they have all the jurisdiction and authority over those cotton-picking lawyers. It's called disbarring them, see? and they may try and respond to you that they don't get involved, they don't have any jurisdiction in an ongoing case in a court. Well, it's just not about that claim. It's not about their controversy. The only part that their controversy plays in the situation is it's the trespass on the estate. That's the only part. It's the device by which they're attempting to commit a fraud against the estate. So you're not in their controversy.
Trust lawman, go ahead.
So what happens if they walk over your paperwork? Would you do like a trust receipt?
If you've done the executor letter correctly, and you served it correctly, and put that registered mail sticker on it correctly and everything, I don't see them doing that. I really don't. We haven't seen them doing that. I don't know. I would not look for the negative side of what if this happens, what if that happens. We are dealing with instances like that right now. When that's completed, then I'll report on what it was and what took place and what we did to resolve the situation. Just get all your ducks in line, you know, and be very careful and do the letter correctly. Take it slow. Think about what you're doing and do it right and let it work. But the answer to your what if is it's the birth state governor's office and the attorney general's office of the birth state to then intercede. That ultimately, they're the ones responsible. And if you've relocated to another state somewhere, then you've got two governor's offices and two attorney general's offices, that it's their duty to intercede when there's a fraud on the estate, period. The act of the grantor creating the estate, they didn't create it, but they made the record. And they're the ones that are the custodian of that record. Are they not? If you want a certificate, you can't go to the moon and get it. You've got to go back to that one of those agencies, the health Department of Health, in the birth state to get it. So that's proof that the jurisdiction to protect the estate is there. It just is.
So if I do a trust receipt, I mean, outside of that too, would I mess the process up?
If you're doing a what?
A trust receipt.
I don't know what that is.
A trust receipt, if you go on Black Laws, it says trust receipt is a UCC.
Oh, yeah. Of course it can mess it up because you're functioning in two different jurisdictions. One in delusion, in the darkness, and you're trying to function in the light at the same time. The best you're going to come out of that is gray. You're going to be neither light nor dark, but gray.
So, but I'm trying to understand on the document. Is the document supposed to be private, or is the document really, if you're serving people, then it's pretty much going to be commercial, I mean public?
Well, you're not recording it anywhere.
So no, I mean, but when you give it to the certain parties.
It's still private. You haven't recorded it anywhere. You just served it.
Okay.
I recommend that you revisit getting involved in UCC and other commercial activities.
See, 'cause the process that I'm doing more like Christian Walter stuff, dealing with the trust too, but we also deal with UCCs too.
None of that stuff's ever worked. I have no record of knowledge of it ever working. I've never had anybody tell me any of these commerce guru concepts have ever worked. There's reports. Oh, there's lots of reports of this person had success and that individual had success and this happened, that happened. And you got Tim Turner claiming that he's got $300 million in maritime liens and all this other stuff. Well, where's the record of any of that, see? I've never seen
that. Because when I was on Rod's class call, he was talking about that your document was pretty much like kind of dangerous. Like, it can get people locked up if they don't know what they're doing.
No, that wasn't Rod that said that. That was that idiot Carl that's on there with him. And those types of people, and I'm not criticizing them, and I'm not going to do that. They didn't come up, they weren't given this knowledge. And they didn't have the blessing of introducing it to you folks. And if it does what it's been doing, it's going to put them out of business. So they're either going to have to come on board or they're going to have to attack it, one or the other. You know, for people to just say that you're going to get in trouble over it, no. You're not the one committing fraud.
I'm definitely with you on the trust, because I love the trust. Anything about trust, I love it.
It's not a trust. A trust is lower. It has less authority than the estate. Estates are not created from trusts. Trusts are created from estates.
You might use the terms grantor and stuff like that.
Well, you don't want to call yourself grantor because you've got nothing but liability in that position.
I thought the trustee has liability.
Yes, they do. That's why they've been prosecuting you and hounding you all your life as a trustee. But an executor is not a trustee. The executor's office is completely immune. The occupant of the executor's office is only a signatory. That's all it is. Just signs things, see?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Aggie Mark, again, did you have a question?
The question really is, if you're assigned to a corporation, could the corporation go after you?
No, a corporation is not in the law. You're in the estate and the executive office is in the law. And the corporations are legal fictions in the delusion. You can't assign anything to a delusion.
That's what I thought the answer was.
It's not straw man activity. The name is not a straw man. That was a misunderstanding by the commerce people, because they look at everything as commerce and trust. They're right about that. See, that they are going after us as trustees and holding us liable, and we're being tricked into that. So it's kind of a straw man, because you're the one that's going to get beat up functioning in that capacity. Don't do that. And you cannot mix the two. Two different venues, two different law forms, two different jurisdictions. Black and white, as different as that is.
California, you had a question?
I came back in to ask this question. I have two questions. One is from the previous caller who mentioned about California director. I'm the one that mentioned the female in the administrative office. That was Mary Maloney Roberts.
Yeah.
And my question is this regarding that, and I'm glad that the other caller brought it up, because that was one thing I need to get clear as well, too. When I was listening to the Saturday call in the archives, the one thing you mentioned was look for the highest level officer who's an attorney. And that's what I looked for. Now, the question is that William C. Vickery is the administrative director in the state of California for the courts, but William C. Vickery is not an attorney. And in paragraph 2 of the executor bond, letter, he is requesting their bar bond.
Are you sure he's not?
I called the office in San Francisco and said, gentlemen, I've spoke with many times before in the past years. And I asked him, is William C. Vickery an attorney? He goes, no. He goes, the attorney is Mary Maloney Roberts, because
right.
She is the general counsel. She is
yes.
It in the administrative office.
Did they misunderstand your question? Because they said no, and then they said, no, the woman is the chief counsel.
She's the general counsel.
Or general.
She's the highest level general counsel. There's no attorney higher than her in the state of California courts in the administrative office. William C. Vickery is the head director, executive office, but he is not an attorney.
Well, do a search on the California lawyers list on this.
She's the attorney. He's not.
Have you checked the lawyer's
yes.
list? See if he is.
With the Bar Association? I have her number, but no, there's nothing for him. He's not an attorney.
Well, that surprises me, but it doesn't matter. You want to stay on the administrator side.
Okay, so William C. Vickery is the one to send this letter to?
Yes, always.
So now, if William Vickery is the one and he's not a member of the bar, why would we be asking for his bar bond?
No, you wouldn't be. No.
Well, that's what the second paragraph requests, certified copies of his bar bond.
It's self-evident that if you find out that that individual is not an attorney, they won't have a bar card or a bond. Bar bond, their bond.
So do we eliminate the request for the bar bond? Yeah, that's your words in the second paragraph.
No. You leave that in there.
Leave it in.
Do you know why you leave it in there?
No.
Because of the general counsel. There is an attorney representing the administrator office.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I heard that in the 6.5-hour call, but everything, when people were asking, you had mentioned to go to the highest attorney in whatever it is, and she is the highest attorney. But
Vickery wasn't, so that was the confusion. So whatever we do with the courts, whatever state it is, it goes to the administrator, whether they're an attorney or not.
Yes.
But they, because they're represented by the attorney, because they're the administrative office,
and
we still go to the send this to the administrator, and the administrator will then give it to the general counsel.
Right.
Whatever needs to go on. Okay.
There's always an attorney involved somewhere. City solicitor, county solicitor. The governor has his own attorney or counsel. The attorney general has his counsel that he uses. The legislatures have their own counsel. Maybe even every elected legislative office, be they senators or representatives, they may even have their own. I'm sure they have an attorney that they can all go to. See, they have to, because they're all legal fictions or corporations, and there has to be an attorney that speaks for it.
So this executor letter that I'm sending tomorrow needs to be changed from Mary Maloney Roberts, who's the general counsel, to William C. Vickery, who is the administrative director, appropriately that way. I'm glad the other caller asked that question, because I was about to send it to Mary Maloney Roberts.
So am I. I'm not saying that if you sent it to the general counsel, it wouldn't get to Vickery, but put it in Vickery's hands and let him hand it to general counsel.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
He may not understand it, but maybe he does. He's going to ask the general counsel about it. And he may also copy it to all the justices. Well, they've already gotten these letters. They know what's going on now.
Yeah, because like the one you said, the traffic ticket case today,
yeah,
California.
There's been other cases in California now, and they see a return address of the state and executor. They know what's coming. They could either refuse to sign for the mail or sign for it. That's their choice.
Hmm. Okay, my second question. I heard you mention about when you go into the court and they call you, you hand it over to your copy of your executor letter to the bailiff. Because I know that it goes to the bailiff. The bailiff hands it over. I've always done that before. And
Usually use the bailiff when you're going to hand something to the judge. You can't hand it to the judge directly. Prosecutor, you can hand it to. You just hand it to him over the rail. I wouldn't even step in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now when they call your name, they call the name of the estate, okay?
That's what
and, mm-hmm. I mean, they're waiting for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it normally that you would say?
Well, I'd stand up. I'd be in the first row in back of the prosecutor's desk, because he's the one bringing, and mm-hmm. you're on the right side, the creditor's side of the courtroom there. Normally, I think the prosecutor's on the right, unless they've changed that. But just
I've been with the prosecutor here on the left when I've been in the courts.
Oh, okay. Well, he should be on the left. He's a creditor. Or, I mean, the debtor.
Debtor.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Just stand up and hand it over the rail to the prosecutor. If they haven't already received it. If they've received it already, bring a copy along in with you and stand up and say, I'm the occupant of the executor office and to that estate, and then you spelled it out, capital A, capital B, capital C, and you, after you spell the full name out, first, middle, and last, you say estate. Where's your administrative authority to administer for the estate?
It's pretty much private. It's none of their business what my name is.
That's right.
Okay. And that was my question, because they'll always ask what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your name?
They're going to ask you, well, what's your name? Well, that's what they're trying to do to get you to identify yourself as a defendant.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
So if you say that's my name, then you've just identified yourself as a defendant. You're not defendant. You're the
You've given them in persona jurisdiction over you.
Yes, you can. They will trick you. That's what they're meant
to. Oh, yeah, I remember that. They tricked me before. Okay, well, that was my questions. I appreciate it again, and I'm glad the other caller asked that question, because it helped me to clear this up, too, so that way I get it out correctly. So I'll send it to William C. Vickery, the administrative director, and leave everything else the way it is there with the bar bond and everything requesting it. Yeah, and because it, like you said, it will get to the general counsel, Mary Maloney Roberts.
There's always a lawyer that's responsible for every elected and appointed office in all types of government.
Okay. You know. Okay. Thank you, David. And thank you, caller, whoever you are out there who has that question.
How are you, David? How's my Dutchman?
Good. Hi, Susie Q.
Hi. I did send in all my paperwork, David, and I am wondering now, am I just supposed to sit and wait for a couple of weeks until I hear something, because I have not turned it over to the court? You know, I'm in process of the court situation. So am I supposed to just wait for a little while, or should I get a hold of that prosecuting attorney and give him a copy of it?
No, you don't serve any lying lawyers. They're controversy specialists. Just monitor the docket online. Can't you do that?
Yeah. I got it all sent off and for everybody. And I think we were talking to you last week, Angela. I didn't get a hold of you and get back with you and tell you what happened to my friends. They were going to go in and use the, if you remember, they were going to go in and use the letter also.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to do it because the attorneys that they had made a compromise where they gave them immunity. And they're supposed to come back and give them a written immunity that satisfies everybody before they turn over their books and records. And if they don't do a good... Wait a minute.
How can that satisfy the estate that people are given records of the private business of the estate that they're not entitled to?
Well, these were third-party records. I mean, they're coming against me personally in an indictment.
No. If they're in the custody of the executor office, I don't care what party it is, they're estate property. And their private estate business.
Well, that's what they were going to do. But see, they subpoenaed them as third party witnesses because they're the trustees.
Mm-hmm. Well, the trust is property of the estate.
No, it's not really of my estate.
If a living being, man or woman, that has a certificate of birth from North America, Canada, Great Britain, or Australia is involved in it, it's estate property, period.
Well, I understand that. But what they have done is they have, I mean, they're coming after me for an indictment, but they subpoenaed them for their books and records thinking that I have a part of them. They're trying to prove that there's some kind of a conspiracy, or that they have a part. I have a part of their trust, which I don't. I don't have anything to do with their trust. So all they're going to do is doing an illegal audit on them. That's what they're doing.
No, what they're doing is they're. I'm going to go back to this again. They're trying to pierce the estate. They're not trying to prosecute you. They're not trying to get any information on you. It's the estate name on their paperwork. They want to call it defendant. Well, it's not defendant. It's, what is it? It's the estate. It's been the estate since 3 or 4 days after you took your first breath. They have no jurisdiction or authority to make that estate a cotton-picking defendant of anything because they have no jurisdiction over it. They have no claim over it. They have no involvement with it, period.
So I should have stepped up and said, hey, you can't have their books and records because they're part of my estate?
It's not your estate. Of the estate. Yes. The paperwork is looking for the grantor's estate that has a name similar to yours.
Yes, but their paperwork has nothing similar to mine. It's their own private. They think we're connected, and I'm connected to them, but I'm not.
Why are you concerned with what they're doing to them?
Well, because they're trying to prosecute them because of me, because they think that I'm involved with them or they're involved with me.
Who is them?
The IRS.
is anything you have done on their paperwork?
No.
Are you on there anywhere?
No.
Well, then just give them the contact and paperwork. If they don't want to function in the executor office, the man, give them the contact and paperwork.
Okay.
It's not going to affect you. It's not going to affect them unless they can find something. I'll tell you what they're doing. The U.S. attorney's going around all the place and cracking these diluted estate trusts that these people have been selling over the years for thousands and thousands of dollars. They're going around cracking all of them because they're all defective.
Mm-hmm.
They were created by people functioning in an incompetent capacity. So they have to be defective. But those people need to just step up, the men, and say, whoa, wait a minute. Whether I created a trust or not, it's none of your business. It's the state property. So don't serve some unspecified individual. Put the estate name or the executor's title after the name that you're trying to come after. And let's see where it takes you. Because that's what they're doing. They're just doing it collusively, you know, by not putting the estate or executor office there.
Right. No, they just subpoenaed them and their names, asking for all of these records of all of these trusts.
Well, they created this imaginary office of defendant. There is no such office as defendant. The same as there's no such office as plaintiff, because they're not a court. So there can't be any offices of defendant or plaintiff there. But they make it up and they call you that and they get you to believe it. They threaten to arrest you and chain you and abuse you and taser you and everything else they can do with all their threats and intimidation. But that's not what they're doing. They have the estate name on there.
Well, we sent off the paperwork on them also to their directors that they were supposed to send it off. They went ahead and sent it off anyways, even though that they had attorneys and their attorneys had kind of worked out this deal with them. They still went ahead and sent it off, so that may help in their situation somehow. I don't know.
If they sent it to the chief counsel of the IRS, it'll help.
Yeah, they did.
Or they sent it to the administrative office of the United States courts in D.C., to the administrator.
They sent it to the chief office of the IRS. Now, I sent mine to the administrator, the director, because I already have the court case going on.
The administrative office of the United States courts is not over what the IRS does or its agents until they file a court case. Then the administrative office is involved. The chief counsel of the IRS is the lawyer over all the IRS agents and the secretary of the IRS.
Okay, that's where they sent theirs. I sent mine to the administrator or the director administrator because I'm already in. They already have the indictment on me.
Oh, well, that's why you did that. So you
right.
did it properly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then should I also send one to the IRS?
No.
Director?
No, it's a court case now. They've moved it out of the administrative process into the court process. They're out of the administrative mode. They're in the prosecution mode.
Yeah, right.
Their administrative mode is a prosecution also. Well, it's a collection is what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
a collection mode. They're out of the collection mode there, and they're taking it into the courts to get the courts to strong-arm whatever they want to accomplish. And ultimately, they're doing that to benefit the estate. They truly are. It enriches the estate when they do those things. So they're doing you a favor.
So they will just probably contact me, or I'll hear something, or just watch the docket, huh?
Watch the docket.
See what happens. Have you heard of any of them just going away from indictment?
No, I haven't. Any IRS cases heard of them being dismissed yet? No, not prosecutions. There's
mm-hmm.
there's been responses like the man in Utah had his federal public pretender call him up and scream at him, what are you doing? What did you do? You put a lien against the assistant U.S. attorney. You can go to prison for that. And then said to him, you have to withdraw that letter. What? First it's a lien, now it's a letter. Well, if it doesn't mean anything, why does the lawyer want it withdrawn? Why does it cause the lawyer to call and
right.
be upset? Say, it is a lien, but it's a letter because it's done administratively.
Now, down at the bottom where it says to send it to the governors, do you just send that first page to them, or do you send all of the document that you sent with the first to the...
It's not. You can send like one of the sheets that has the account number or the court docket number on it or the collection number or something like that on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just give them a reference to that they can look at it and they can find that claim or that case or that account somewhere in their system, so they know
okay.
what they're dealing with. But it's not relevant, really. It's being done.
Should I do that to the state that it's being prosecuted in also?
You can.
I did it to my birth state, but should I do it to my state that I'm being prosecuted in?
You can.
Okay. And also, on the return address on the outside, I think I heard you mention something about this. I put that exact return address on the envelope outside.
Yes.
Should something happen that they would try to send that back, would it come to me? Would they find my address by that legal description?
It'll find you at the post office under general post, or if you put in your home street address, only writing it backwards with the number last, it'll be delivered to you.
Oh, okay. All right.
I would look for general post mail. Go there at least the post office once a week. Whatever that zip code is, go to that post office.
Okay.
And if you're there, tell them you're there to call for. They have call windows in every post office. You go to the clerk and tell them you're there to call for your mail matter, MATTER.
Well, they got very, very mad at me putting that. I put a meets and bounds legal on my documents when I entered them into the court, and they got very mad and struck all of them previously. So I had to go back in. Well, I had an attorney the first time, and the attorney got them struck, and then after that I had to go back in and put them all back in, and they were not too happy with me, and so I had to give them some cases that says that, hey, you know, I'm not to be held as an attorney, qualities of attorney, and so, and some other cases, and so I don't know what they'll say about it. They might strike them all again.
You're making them mad because you're participating in their controversy. Go on the administrative private side of the conflict and deal with it. Do not file these executor letters with court clerks.
So do I just stop filing motions?
Whatever you want to do, Susie. Yeah.
Does any motions that I'm filing, would it harm this other action that I'm doing? I mean, just like filing, asking for them to prove their jurisdiction and all that kind of stuff?
I don't believe that it harms it, but it's showing them that you're double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to do two different things and accomplish the same goal.
Okay. Well, that answers my questions. I thank you very much. And I'll talk to you soon, Dutchie.
I just got a comment on the California courts. When they have that so-called arraignment, they generally don't have any prosecutors in there. The judges stand up there, well, these are your charges, such and such. How do you plea, A, B, or C? No, don't plea any of those things. I want an administrative resolve administrative issue here, and that's not your jurisdiction. Or whatever the issue is. But there's no prosecutor in there.
You don't challenge jurisdiction.
Well, I just one example.
Okay.
Not now. Not now, in the past. And then if whatever you answer, well, if you don't answer, I'll put you down as not guilty and then come back in so many weeks and you will have the trial.
after.
So they most of the time don't have a...
Keep repeating after everything they say, where's your administrative authority from the executor office to administrate the estate?
That's the answer. Oh, let's go, and I went in there. Didn't have that ammunition. And then they even now, oftentimes they don't have any of the district attorneys. I just have the cop stand there and spit out what did you, and whoever's conducting says, well, did you or didn't you?
Well, who's representing the state of California or
yeah.
whatever state it is? Can't be the cop. And the judge can't do it. So who's representing the plaintiff, which is the state? The
okay.
plaintiff is not there. It's just another example that everything they do is defective. Because if it was de jure, they can't do it. That's why they can't not come after these estates. They are de jure. Okay, good night, Angela.
Okay. All right, good night, David. We'll talk later about...
Sunday.
Well, we'll see. Then I'll send everybody an email. Oh, someone was asking where they could do more work, research on your stuff, and I said your Google group. What is the name of that again, or how could they get there?
Just type County Notary in any search engine, and probably the first one that comes up at the top will be County Notary, highest office in law on Google. It'll be a Google group, and that's the one you go to. Or send me an email, County Notary, all one word, CountyNotary, @gmail.com.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, everybody. It's been a long night again, but it was fun and enlightening as always. I love you all. I'll see you on Sunday with John Stewart and maybe Saturday with David Clarence. We'll see. But I'll let you know. I'll put out an email. All right.
Sure.
Love y'all.
Sunday with David Clarence.
No, I didn't say that. No. There's not enough notice for John Stewart. I wouldn't do that to him. I wouldn't do that to you either, so no.
Okay.
All right, Sherry, I love you. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk more, but...